Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Once again, from God's Word, Psalm 85, beginning with verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all the wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Will not thou revive us, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh with them that fear him, and glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall bring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. May God add blessing to the reading of his word today. From our Bible, we can easily understand that God blesses the nation that is obedient to him. And likewise, God judges the nation that is disobedient to him. That's a very simple yet profound discernment which too often gets overlooked today. Even within the church today often overlooks the reality of obedience and disobedience, the reality of blessing and judgment. More specifically, Israel has experienced both the blessings of God due to their repentance and due to their obedience, as well as the judgment of God due to their disobedience. Now, as we think about Memorial Day, let's get beyond a beach trip or a lake trip or a cookout. Let's move beyond the parades and the celebrations. Let's remember today that hundreds of thousands have given their lives at the call of our nation. Now, hold on, we can't stop there. We must also look at the spiritual condition of the nation during those times. When we do, we're going to better see God's hand upon the sacrifice of those who have stepped up to serve. God's hand has often led America to victory, as he has done multiple times with others like Israel. David and his mighty men, for example, God provided the men to David for that service. God's hand has often led America to victory. As we stop and think about our history, we stop and think about those who have stepped up. When we think about all of the circumstances and situations, we see God's hand. We see his hand present on our nation in so many ways. Israel got to their position much the same way that America got to ours. That was faith in God. God gave Israel the promised land. When they followed God's instructions under Joshua, they were victorious. They were victorious over the armies who outnumbered them. They were victorious over the cities that were fortified in front of them. When a nation, any nation, collectively has faith in God, and when they are obedient to God through that faith and with that faith, God finds them a favor, that's collectively, America has found itself as a favored nation. Now, we can't stop there. We also have to deal with the reality that America stands at a crossroads today. America stands at a crossroads of obedience and disobedience to God's word. Our decision will determine our future. Will America continue to celebrate Memorial Day, or will America simply fade into a memory? That ought to be a very sobering reality. If God chooses to remove His hand from this nation, it doesn't matter how strong we are. It doesn't matter how prosperous we are. It doesn't matter how prestigious we are. When God's hand comes off of a nation, it fails. Go through your Bible and read of the civilizations who have failed because God had ordained. So this morning, as we consider the Memorial Day of 2017, and we think of all of those who have given their lives, the hundreds of thousands. I was looking at this as I studied this message. Up until the War on Terror from 9/11/2001, the deaths that are listed through the VA of all of the wars, the Revolutionary War up to that limit, was over 600,000. Add to that the few that were the ones that died and gave their lives in the War on Terror and remained to do that, we are looking at around 650,000 people that we know have given their lives. Through all of the difficulties, through all of the wars, through all of the problems, God's hand has remained. And we have the privilege of memorials. Notice with me three things about a favored nation from the passage that we have read. Notice with me first that America must acknowledge God's mercy of the past. When we see from God's word and from the song that we have read, Thou hast brought back. Thou hast brought back favorably into thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. The psalmist is looking back at the captivity of Egypt, the captivity of Babylon, the captivities of the past, and God has brought His people back from those captivities. While America has never suffered a captivity per se, if we go all the way back to the American Revolution and beyond, we found ourselves under the headship and the throne of the tyranny of England at that time. From that point, we had people in this country who was praying to God. They were seeking God's direction in freedom for this nation. From 1492 until 1776, there were people establishing a government, people who were establishing a nation, people who were establishing a means, and they were doing it through prayer and persistence in God's word. It was the mercies of God who led, established, and ordained those men, those women of the American Revolution to step up and fight the tyranny that was holding us back. And God established it, and God ordained it, and God set this nation moving forward. There are many today who do not like to hear that. There are many today who do not want history to be talked about from the progressive movement of post-Civil War America. Start after the Civil War. Talk about all the history you want up until present. But let's not mention anything from the Civil War back to the American Revolution, back to 1492, back to anything that went on beyond that, that established and colonized this land. Why? Because if we start talking about that, we have to include God because they include God. We have to acknowledge the mercies of God in this country if we want to keep God's hand on this country. If we want to truly recognize those who have sacrificed, then we need to recognize God who has placed His hand on their lives. Those who have served alongside of them, those who stand today alive and remember those, remember being among those who had given their lives. Well, not only is it a mercy of establishing a country, it is the mercy of forgiving sin. America cannot continue to wallow in a philosophy of sin and an embracing of sin and expect God to keep turning a blind eye. He will not do it. God's mercy is going to run out. America can't keep doing this. We can't keep laughing in the face of God. We can't keep embracing things that God calls sin. Even if we pass a law that says, this is a right, this is a privilege, this is legal, this can be done. Just because we make it legal doesn't mean it is no longer a sin. Sin is sin. And America has to realize it. We have to come before God in repentance of sin and ask God what He expects. We have to ask God what He wants us to do. We have to ask God what His will is for our lives personally. If we're not willing to do that, if we're not willing to humble ourselves before God personally and say, God, what do you want me? Where do I fit in? God, what do you have in store for me? If we're not willing to do that personally, then we can't do it collectively. That starts at the church. If the individual born-again Christian cannot humble themselves before God and say, here I am, God, take me and use me, then the church, the collective congregations, can't step up and say, here we are, God, take us and use us. If we can't do it as an individual, then He can't do it as a congregation. If He can't do it as a congregation, He can't do it as a denomination. Do you get where I'm going with it this morning? It comes back to you and I as a person. We need to humbly seek the forgiveness of sin. Yes, I'm passionate about it. Yes, I'm sincere about it because it is a reality of God's Word. It is a reality of where we have stumbled and we have veered and walked away from. We have arrogantly taken ourselves to the point where we've said, we are going to legalize this and we're going to okay that and we're going to put our seal of approval on this. And everybody's got to be okay with it. Including God. We ought to forgive. He is the one who sang. He is the one who has written the book. America has experienced many revivals and many awakenings, and actually, as a grand scale, it's happened twice. And one of those times it started here in America. Great away. And you know what? It didn't start in a megachurch. It did not start in a great big city. It did not start with a lot of fanfare. It did not start with a lot of newspaper ads. It did not start on social media. It did not start on anything like that. It started when a group of folks out in the country recognized that America needed prayer. And they got together and they started meeting in a barn. And they started praying. Not because they didn't have a church to go to. Not because noble folks were telling them they couldn't. No, not because. Just because they decided this was where they wanted to meet. It was a centralized location or something. That's where they started to meet. As they started to meet and pray, others heard about it. Other families. And then preachers. And then the prayers would go into preaching, and the preaching would go into singing. And there would be more praying, and more preaching, and more singing. And then there were more people that were coming. Folks were staying there. They were showing up daily. The crowds were getting larger and larger and larger. The speakers and preachers were becoming more and more. The singers more and more. The people praying and praising God more and more. Revival had started. It was a spiritual awakening that spread across this land. From coast to coast, border to border, America saw an awakening and led an awakening that literally went around the world. Evangelists like the late D.L. Moody took that awakening and moved it into England. It spread over there and went through Europe. It is the forgiveness of sin that brings the blessings of God on the efforts that He has blessed. God has taken our military, blessed our military, and they have provided and established for us a free land in order to go about doing His work. And what do? With the blessings that God has given? What do we do with it? Individual. What do we do with it? If we want to acknowledge the mercies of the past, we have to establish and understand where our country was established from. We have to understand the forgiveness of sin and how it works in that establishment. And we also have to realize that God will heal our afflictions. He has blessed. Look back at the things that America has survived. America suffered through a civil war and the greatest loss of life among our own people, among our own people. America suffered through racial segregation. America suffers through political violence. Had it before. Because we have sought God, we have been. If we continue to seek God, we will continue to be healed. But when we seek Him, we have to seek Him at His discretion. We must seek Him. At His, we will be saved. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to learn? If we are not willing to learn from history, then we are doomed to repeat it. And if we are doomed to repeat it over and over again, and we repeat it without God, we have nothing to look forward to except Him removing His hand. And instead of America having a memorial day, America will be a victim. It happened to Israel several times. And they were not reestablished until 1948. That's when God reestablished them for His will and for His direction. And it's still not completed yet. The UN did not establish Israel. America did not establish Israel. Israel, the Jewish people, did not establish Israel. It was not a war that established Israel. It was God. It was God who said, This is my physical people that I have chosen to work through to bring about this part in time. It is time for the days of the Gentiles to begin to wind down. And God establishes people. They still haven't repented. Israel is still an Orthodox Jewish nation. There are some Christian Jews over there who are born again. The day will come when they will repent. And if you've been coming at night and you have been listening to the series that we're doing on Revelation, you would know that we are just moved in to chapter 14 and we've been talking about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be preaching the gospel. Israel will say in that day in the tribulation, we understand where we've missed them, and they will repent. God established Israel in 1948 to begin the process of getting the ground. By God's divine purpose, Israel's not going to go anywhere until God comes. America is not going to go anywhere until God comes. What's going to work that out in our hearts and lives? Are we going to be obedient to God's word? Are we going to be repentant of sin in our life personally? Because that's the next point. America must repent of the evils of the present. We see, turn us, O God of our salvation. Turn us. Departure. Departing from God is ruin. Separation between man and God is nothing but turning. When we embrace this, when we turn from God, whether it be as an individual or as a nation, and understand that is the way both of them are. As a nation, we turn from God after we turn from Him as an individual. We don't like the way things are going in our nation's capital. We don't like the way things are going in the state capital. We don't like the government that we have. We are one of the few nations on the face of the earth that get to choose our government. If we think our government is full of sin, and we think our government is full of corruption, and we feel like our government is failing, then America is what is electing that and putting that into office. It is by our individual sin that we are propagating it through the government and allowing them to spread it back down through us. It all comes back to the individual. Do we seek God's direction? Even when do we seek God's primaries? Do we look for a person that represents godly values? Do we look for a person that has a proper relationship with God? Or do we look for a person who's going to benefit my IRA, a person who's going to benefit my financial status, a person that's going to benefit my favorite political party, a person that's going to benefit this, a person that's going to benefit that, a person that's going to satisfy this political action committee, or a person that's going to satisfy this group of donors, or a person that's going to do this, or a person that's going to do that. If that's where we are, and we're pushing God to the side in this manner, then we are the ones that will bear the blood in God's judgment. America must repent of the evils that we are currently involved in. We have to repent of estrangement from God. We have to repent from disobedience of God. We have to repent of spiritual deadness. And this really hits the church. We know from God's word that in the last days the church is going to be lukewarm at best. We also know from that the Lord says He will spit it out. He will spew it out. He will have no part. We want to be revived. We want to be popular. We want to be prestigious. Do we want to be holy? Do we want to be recognized with God as much as we want to be recognized with the world? Wilt thou not revive us again? God, the Word says. God, will you not do it again? Will you not come again? God, will you come one more time? God, will you do it one more time? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. But he says, my people, he's not talking about the lost. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about those who do not know it. He says, my people. He's talking about those who are his. Today, it's the church. If America is going to embrace the opportunity of the future, it's going to come because the church embraces the Word of God and returns to it in sound, spiritual, Holy Ghost revival. And I'm not talking about cutting cartwheels in the aisles. I'm not talking about hooping and hollering and putting on a good show. I'm talking about humble repentance before a holy and righteous God, laying out before Him where we know we have failed Him, where we know we have come short. I'm talking about taking that and just getting back into being a spiritual people who love God, who are in love with God and who want God to do a work in my life, me, individually, so that it can start with me and then propagate through the rest of them. Listen, I can stand up here and I can preach, but I can't do anything about you and your relationship. I can do it about me and mine, but I can preach to you what God says and what God wants you to be doing. That's where we have to be as a people, as an individual. It has to be between me and God first. How is America going to hold on to Memorial Day and not become a memory? We're going to hold on to Memorial Day by reclaiming and grasping and holding on to God, thanking God for those whom He has given, thanking God for those whom He has empowered, thanking God for those who have laid down their life, shed their blood so that we can have the freedoms, and taking these freedoms and using them to propagate the Word of God around the world and lead others to Christ. Are we going to embrace the opportunity of the future that God gives us? Or are we going to squander? Now, I can't answer that for you, and it is an individual answer. There will always be a remnant of God's people. There will always be a remnant of people that will preach and proclaim and live a sound and sincere testimony of who God is. And there will always be those people who will say, leave it to someone else. There will always be those who, well, that's not my cup of tea. There will always be those who will excuse themselves from it. Where are you that God's calling each one of us to step up? To step up to Him. To step up in repentance. To step up in asking for forgiveness. To step up and embrace the future of America. If we don't, then I fear the number of Memorial Days left of few. And America will quickly become a memory. I'm thankful for those who have given their lives. I'm thankful enough for those and for what God has done in this nation to stand before you this morning and bring the reality of God's Word as it bears upon this nation today. And as I finish and conclude this morning, I'd like to ask if our song leaders can come and prepare a hymn of closing and invitation. You see, I believe the Bible teaches that the God of creation has a special calling and an election for each of the races of mankind. History. We hear a lot about the definition of history. History is the revelation of the will of God. And in history of the greatest nation, we find God's will for them. What did God establish them to do? What did God put them in a place to do? They are themselves the record and the retribution of their past. They are their own testimony. Whether that testimony is a testimony of salvation or whether that testimony is a testimony of judgment. They are also the prophecy of their future. Whether they will obey or disobey. Whether they will repent or reject. America will find itself blind and thankless if they fail to recognize God's ordination in our own history and God's warning and promises of the fortune of our future. Surely God has looked favorably upon our nation. Today in America, God has ordained preachers and leaders and reformers to return us back to His Word, to being obedient, to being repentant. Until freedom means more in America today than it means anywhere else in the world. That's what God has established us to be. That vision, that light, that opportunity of spiritual missions, that opportunity of freedom, the opportunity testimony in front of the entire world. Upon us, the church, God has laid the burden of a duty and a destiny that we too often take lightly. He has given us a charge which we can never fulfill abroad until we learn that we must begin fulfilling it at home. We spend countless millions of dollars sending the gospel overseas. And we see God using it and moving it, while at the same time, the gospel in America is falling flat because the churches can't take it out of their own four walls and get it into the field. He's given us a charge. Do we take it seriously? To realize the very hand of living God and that living God is laid upon our nation today would humble us. If we really saw and understood everything that God says and everything that God has done. Today we recognize and we understand that more than 600,000 Americans gave their lives in service to this nation. A nation God established, beginning with the Pilgrims and the landing in Plymouth, Massachusetts. A nation God ordained through its revolution and has sustained in many wars and in many conflicts over the last two centuries. God's hand has been upon this nation because America has been a nation that was grateful to God. They gave God glory for everything that we are. His grace and His mercy extended to us. God extends His hand of mercy this morning. Maybe this morning you're being called to salvation. Maybe you're being called to return as Israel was called to return. Maybe you're being called to repent. Maybe you're being called to step up and serve. Maybe you're being called to just embrace the future in your individual responsibility, how that lies in this country. This morning as we close, the altar calls him. If God is dealing with your heart, whether it is salvation, whether it is service, whether it is membership, whatever it may be, if God is dealing with your heart, as we sing, ladies and gentlemen.